T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And thank you for being here, and thank all of you for tuning in on this Good Friday. I'm joined today by LSU Gymnastics Head Coach Dede Bro, who's going to speak towards the end of this about the Get It To Go campaign. We will also be joined shortly by Archbishop Gregory Amon. He will be participating today. We do start today on a very somber note, and that is that late yesterday afternoon, we lost a member of the Louisiana legislature to COVID-19. Newly elected Representative Reggie Bagala from Lafourche Parish spent his life making his community in South Louisiana a better place. Just about 3 months ago, he was sworn in to his first term, and I know that he came to the state capitol with excitement and eagerness to serve our state and the people of House District 54. Today, the entire state is mourning this great loss, and I ask everyone to please keep his family in your prayers right now, and well as all the families who have suffered because they've lost someone or because someone remains gravely ill because of this disease. And before I get to the latest numbers and testing about COVID-19, I want to take a moment to brief you on another situation that people need to be aware of this weekend. Saturday and Sunday, we're looking at a chance for strong to severe thunderstorms throughout many parts of the state, beginning in northwest Louisiana from late Saturday through the first half of Sunday. There will also be isolated flood threat. Widespread flash flooding is not expected at this time, but please pay attention to all of the updates on the weather forecasting because that could change. Transitioning into Sunday, very large hail, widespread destructive wind gusts, and strong long track tornadoes will be possible across much of northern Louisiana. For South Louisiana, the entire area has been upgraded from slight to either an enhanced or a moderate threat, as confidence continues to increase that a significant severe weather outbreak is possible across a large portion of the area on Sunday. At this time, the main threats for most of South Louisiana will be wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour, potentially greater, which could down trees and power lines, hail up to 1 inch in diameter, and tornadoes, some of which could be very strong with a long track. Timing could change, but at this time, Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening look to be the most dangerous times for this region, and that could potentially extend to overnight on Sunday. We all know that weather forecasts change and conditions change, so get a game plan now to deal with this weather threat. So stay weather aware, watch for alerts from the National Weather Service, from your local media, and your local emergency managers, and look for emergency alerts on your cell phone, especially as they pertain to tornadoes. And now with that, I'm gonna get back to our daily coronavirus briefing. Today we added 970 new cases, bringing our total statewide to 19,253. Sadly, on this Good Friday, we're announcing 53 new deaths, which brings us to 755 total across the state. Overall, our testing capacity has yielded 92,000 tests. A little bit more than that, almost 92,300 tests, which keeps us among the very top states in the nation for per capita testing. We're going to continue to do everything we can to further increase the testing that takes place in Louisiana. We did see some small increases in the number of people hospitalized and in the number of people on vents compared to yesterday. But based primarily on the current modeling, the number of new hospital admissions and the number, I should say, the ventilator utilization across the state, it is fair to say that we're in a better place today than we were at this time last week. And that gives us something to be thankful for going into Easter weekend. It is because of you. It is because of the people of Louisiana and your compliance with the stay-at-home order. It is because of the hygiene practices that you all have adopted and social distancing that that is the case. And so I have to caution everyone that we're only going to continue on this more positive trajectory if everyone maintains social distancing, the good hygiene practices, and follows the stay-home order. I want you to know that the federal testing sites that we've had in Louisiana for some time now, three of them operating, two of them in Orleans, one in Jefferson, are going to stay open because you may have seen where today was the last scheduled day. We did request, and the federal government has authorized us to maintain that testing capacity in Louisiana going forward with federal sponsorship. And this is something that the vice president offered to me on our video telephone conference earlier this week. And that's going to happen. The testing at the Ilario Center in Jefferson Parish will continue just as it has been conducted in the past. The two sites that had been consolidated at UNO in New Orleans will be relocating. I do want to take this moment to thank Admiral Brett Girard, who is, by the way, a Louisiana native. He works at Health and Human Services in the Public Health Service, and he is over testing for the entire country. And so obviously he had something to do with the continued sponsorship of the federal government of these testing sites. In order to take maximum advantage of them, working with the Office of Public Health and local elected leaders and knowing the hot spots that's developing between Baton Rouge and New Orleans and the river parishes, we're going to move these testing sites from New Orleans to one is going to be conducting tests starting next week at Gramercy Elementary School, another at Hanville High School. Now that testing will start on Wednesday, April the 15th. In addition, the Test Action Clinic will test 2 days a week in Edgard on the west bank of St. John the Baptist Parish starting next week. And we're working with local providers for a mobile testing unit that will further increase testing along the west bank of the river parishes, and we will have more information about that on next week. I am pleased to tell you that we have distributed 7.5 million items of PPE thus far. And I want to thank the National Guard because they are doing the heavy lifting there. They're maintaining our warehouse here, so they receive the shipments. They then get instructions from GOSEP as to where to deliver those items, and they've also been the ones delivering the ventilators and other things as well. But at this point in time, they have delivered 7.5 million items of PPE. Today, I'm announcing the creation of the Louisiana COVID-19 Health Equity Task Force. By health equity, we mean everyone has have the opportunity to attain their highest level of health. This task force will bring leverage it will leverage our research capabilities and intellectual brain power in a collective manner to tackle this issue. And I'm asking our universities and research institutions and medical community to lead this effort, specifically Southern University's Nelson Mandela School of Public Policy, also Xavier University's Department of Public Health Sciences, the Health Science Centers at LSU and Tulane, the Louisiana Department of Health Office of Public Health will participate as well. The Louisiana Department of Health Bureau of Minority Health Access, but also the Pennington Biomedical Research Center and the schools of nursing at all of our universities across the state of Louisiana. The immediate assignment for the task force is to make sure communities with health disparities are blanketed with good information on COVID-19 safety and prevention. provide the medical community with best practices and protocols for treating communities with underlying medical conditions and health disparities, and ensure testing availability and ease of access for all communities. Obviously, the end goal is health equity. We want to make sure that we have better health outcomes on the other side of this pandemic as well. So we need to answer the question, what are the social determinants of health disparity, and how do we ensure health equity for all of our citizens? And this task force will be meeting this charge. Dr. Kim Hunter-Reed, the Commissioner of Higher Education, has already sent an inquiry to all of our universities to identify their leading experts, and the names have started coming in to my office. This task force will begin its work immediately, and the research will result in the creation of a dashboard on health equity. This is something we can do now to minimize the spread of COVID-19 in really across the state, but particularly in these communities where members are most vulnerable. And if, as you know, the last several days we've been talking about the fact that African Americans are comprising about 70% of all the COVID-19 deaths, whereas they're only 33% of the state's population. And we've got to try to figure out what we can do to address that. But the work that's going to be done by this task force is actually going to benefit everybody in the state of Louisiana. I do hope that everyone will have a blessed Easter weekend. Remember, you can be with your loved ones. I'm encouraging you to be with your loved ones, but do that one household at a time, and refrain from the large gatherings that you would typically engage in over Easter weekend. I do have, again today, a couple of questions from the public. The first one is Debbie from Baton Rouge. I'm going to read the question, and I'm going to ask Dr. Biu to come up and answer it. If you test positive, what is your incubation period till you're considered well? Is it a certain time fever-free?
So that's a great question, Debbie, and I think probably asking a question that's on a lot of people's minds. And I think it bears us emphasizing, despite the fact that we've sadly lost 755 Louisianans, most people who get the COVID, who have COVID, will get better. Now, my understanding is that it is a pretty rough illness, and it's not something that any of us want to have to go through. So by all means, everything the governor just said, we should be staying at home and limiting our exposure to folks. But it is something that takes time to get through. Our definition from the CDC definition for when we can say that you're actually recovered is at least 7 days after you had symptoms develop. That's usually when we say you had the beginning or your onset of illness. And after that time period, what we're looking for is 3 days without a fever, and with significant improvement in your symptoms before we can say that you are recovered. And importantly, that time period without the fever has to be without taking a medicine like a Tylenol or ibuprofen that's helping reduce that fever. So again, you'd have to be without symptoms for 3 days before we would say you're recovered. And during that entire period between symptoms and to that point where you're fever-free and feeling better, everybody who has those symptoms, even if you haven't been tested, should be isolating, so staying away from your family and friends and doing an extra good job of cleaning up after yourself, washing your hands, so that we really limit the spread of virus around the communities. So thanks for that question, Debbie.
Thank you, Alex. And Francis from Pineville has asked, will some parishes be able to open back up sooner than those with hotspot situations? That too is a great question. And as we get closer to April the 30th, we will make a decision here about what, if any, of the restrictive measures that are currently in place get continued. And quite frankly, as Dr. Fauci says all the time, the virus is in control of the timeline going forward. We really are not. But as we get closer to that date, we will look at what the situation is in Louisiana, what the guidance is coming from the CDC, what the testing capacity is at that point for surveillance, for diagnostic, and for purposes dealing with the serology testing that we talked about yesterday, trying to figure out who has contracted COVID-19 and gotten through it and has the antibodies that should mean that they don't get it again. although this is a novel coronavirus and we're still learning about it and so forth. But all of that's going to be taken into consideration as we decide how to move forward after April the 30th. I am encouraging everyone to be patient and to understand that when we get to April the 30th and beyond, what the situation looks like is going to depend upon what we do between now and then. And that's why it's incredibly important that we continue with our present posture, be focused and be determined to make sure that we're following the stay-at-home order, that we are not engaging in unnecessary travel and contact with other folks, that we're maintaining our social distancing and our good hygiene practices. And if we do that, the one thing I can say for sure is as we get closer to April 13th, we're going to be in a better place than we otherwise would have been. Before I take questions from the press, I'm going to turn it over to one of our special guests, Archbishop Gregory Amon. He's joining us today from New Orleans by Zoom. It is Good Friday, and I thought it's an important time for many of us to hear from someone like the Archbishop here at the start of the Easter weekend. You probably know this, but the Archbishop has been diagnosed with COVID-19. I believe he is recovered now. I asked him to join us today to speak about his experience with the disease, but also to offer a prayer for the state of Louisiana. And Archbishop, thank you so much for joining us today, and I'll turn the floor over to you.
Governor, thank you for the opportunity to participate in this news conference. And I also want to thank you, as our governor, for your very strong and effective leadership during this very critical time. We appreciate what you are doing for us and the wisdom with which you lead us. As you mentioned, Governor, yes, I had the virus, and I'm pleased to say that I have recovered. I felt the healing hand of God upon me. And those of us who have had the virus, we know how complex it is, how much energy it drains from us. I only had one of the three symptoms of the virus, and so I was well aware as I was recovering and in quarantine that there were many people out there who were far more ill than I was. But that experience for me enabled me to be able to be in unison, in solidarity, with those who were sick, especially those who were in hospitals and on respirators. So I thank God for the healing that he has given to so many of us as we move forward in this very challenging time.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. And as a request from me, I would ask that you would offer up a prayer on this Good Friday as we look forward to Easter Sunday.
Thank you. And before I offer the prayer, I would first like to address for a moment our Jewish brothers and sisters. Sure. We are celebrating Holy Days, but so are they. We are celebrating the Passover beginning this week and into next week. And so to all of our Jewish sisters and brothers, may God's peace be with you, and may these days of Passover be a time of blessing for you and for your family. Let us pray and bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, on this day we not only remember, but we celebrate and we thank you for your passion and your death. You bore the cross. And you did so, and we give you thanks because you set us free from sin. You showed us the Father's mercy and reassured us of the Father's love. Thank you for carrying the cross. Thank you for reassuring us that we are indeed loved and forgiven. And Lord Jesus, you have always promised that you would be with us. We ask you in particular during this challenging time of the coronavirus, we ask you to be with us, to lead us, to protect us. It is a challenging time and a cross that we bear, Lord Jesus, and so we ask you to help us to carry that cross. Lord Jesus, on this Good Friday, we ask you to bless the state of Louisiana as we move forward. To those who are ill from the virus, we ask you to heal them. To those who have gone before us in death, give them eternal rest. Give protection to all of us And we ask you blessings and perseverance on our healthcare professionals and all those who work with them and our first responders. Help them that they can truly be the healers of our time. And we ask you to bless our governor and all the people who serve us and lead us. Lord Jesus, your death led to resurrection. We pray that this Calvary, this way of the cross that we are experiencing with the coronavirus, will lead us to new hope and to new life. We ask you to shine your light as the risen Christ into our darkness and give us trust and confidence in all that you do for us. We ask this in your name, for you, O God, living and reigning forever and ever.
Amen. Thank you very much, Archbishop, and it's great to have you with us, and I'm so pleased that you are on the mend and feeling much better. God bless you.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate it.
Okay, and now we're going to ask Coach Dede Brough from LSU's gymnastics program, a legendary coach, to come up and speak about the Get It To Go campaign that promotes safely supporting our local restaurants. If you would, come on up.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor. I was honored to be asked to do the PSA about Get It To Go. And you know, it's all about playing defense, and we have to be on the same team. And team is total effort, all members. And when we do this, we represent our communities and our families and our states, our state. And what we want to do is win. We want to beat this thing. And winning, what is winning? It's what's important now. And the message that our governor gives and our archbishop gives, that is what's important now. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Coach. I like that. I'm going to have to remember that team and win. And as I continue to ask the people of Louisiana to be patient and do what's required of us now as it relates to social distancing, hygiene, and stay at home. So with that, I will take your questions for a bit. Yes, sir.
Governor, on the task force addressing the racial disparities, did you say it's going to be helping with testing? And if so, in what way? And also, do you have a sense for whether there is a racial disparity in the amount of testing in Louisiana and also in the amount of cases? I know we've released the information on deaths.
Well, we've told you once before, at least, that one of the things that we're not able to get a clear resolution on is the race of the individuals who are being tested. And that is because over 90% of the tests are now coming from private labs and they don't identify that information. We are working going forward to try to have that information reported to us along with the results, whether someone is COVID negative or COVID positive. And because it would be interesting to know, quite frankly, if what the percentage of COVID positive people are in Louisiana by race, because we do know and can more readily obtain the identity, or should say the race of the individuals who die. And to be able to compare and contrast those numbers would be very important for us, but we can't presently do it. So I can't tell you whether there's a disparity there or not. What we can tell you is that despite all the efforts we've made, and which by the way have been huge efforts and largely successful, because we either have the highest number of tests per capita in the country or we're second, and it's right there with New York, and it kind of goes back and forth every day. We don't have the amount of testing that we would like. That is particularly true in some of the rural areas, although it is false, and I think some of this has been reported. Mostly it's rumors out there. There is no parish, there is no region of our state that isn't currently testing. But we don't believe that we have adequate testing anywhere. And so we're trying to improve that and get more of that into the rural areas. So this task force is going to look at these health disparities. And there's a short-term immediate goal, and that is to help us through this COVID-19 public health emergency by making sure that we're putting out as much good information. I mean, by good, I mean accurate and timely, telling people what they need to do. Not just the things like stay at home, social distancing, good hygiene, But if you happen to have hypertension, make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing from a perspective of your diet, taking your medicine. Same thing with diabetes and so forth, because you've already got these underlying conditions. And so making sure that you're treating as well as you can from a medication perspective and from other things that you can control puts you in the best possible position to withstand this virus should you contract it, this disease should you contract it. So that they're going to be working on that. And then they're going to look long term, and this should benefit us well past the pandemic, as to what we can do as a state to better address these underlying chronic health condition disparities that we are seeing right now. And, you know, it shouldn't make us feel any better, but it is obviously the case that this exists far beyond Louisiana. If you look at the reports that are coming out of other states, they're having similar situations, and in fact, almost in direct proportion to ours. But the fact that it's shared by other states doesn't mean it's not a big issue. It is. We have to figure out how we can tackle this issue, figure out what social determinants of health are playing into these disparities, and what can we do to address those. But the fact that potentially African Americans have a greater prevalence of these comorbidities doesn't mean that this study is only going to benefit the African Americans, because it's going to benefit everybody who happens to have hypertension or diabetes or kidney disease or heart disease or have an obesity issue. But we know that the disparity is playing out with a disproportionate number of deaths being visited upon the African American community. And that's the primary reason that we instituted it as quickly as we did, and want to bring some results to bear early enough to help us with this particular emergency. Yes, sir.
On that, isn't this just kind of like the coronavirus has exposed a long dark secret, not just in Louisiana but in our country, that African Americans have these underlying issues? But it's because of the grocery gap and just different things like that, because African Americans, to a larger extent, do not have access to healthy foods and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think we know that we can have better behavior in our state. We still have too many people who smoke. We have too many people who don't exercise. We have too many people who drink 3 sodas a day rather than water. I mean, it is all of it. And I don't profess to know all the answers to the question that you just asked, but that's what this task force is going to look for. But maybe this is an opportunity, given that this virus, this disease, is shining a light on these disparities. Maybe this is our opportunity to finally break through to a larger number of people and get them to change their behaviors, get them to take advantage of the opportunities that they have in order to see a primary care physician and start managing their diseases better, and do this before the disease gets so bad that it's really hard to treat. You know, that's what was so important about getting people an opportunity, perhaps through Medicaid expansion, to have primary care, preventative care that they didn't have before, to get diagnosed with illnesses and diseases before they progressed to the point where they were almost impossible to treat. And then you have that pharmacy benefit so that you can actually afford to fill the prescriptions and take them as prescribed to keep these conditions hopefully in check and mean that you're healthier. So maybe this is a way to finally get people to focus on these things, because it's not so abstract anymore. There is a real price to pay. And you pay it every day, but you pay the ultimate price too often in the situation of a pandemic like we're experiencing right now. So maybe this gives us an opportunity to really drive some change in behavior and some changes in society, some changes in the way we deliver health care, all of it to elevate the health of the people of Louisiana. Yes, sir.
What's your message to those still fighting coronavirus and those survivors of this virus?
Wow. You know, I thought about this a lot last night after I learned that Representative Bagala had passed and that the disease had taken his life. And then I looked at a video that Ted James did another state representative, and a very, very powerful video. And then I compared it with some stories that I've been told by some people that I know who haven't gone public, but I know that they've had the disease and they've been in the hospital. This is just really tough. And for the family members out there, their loved ones are in the hospital room and they can't go visit them. Now, they're depending on the condition of their loved one, they may be able to have phone calls or may be able to FaceTime, or it could be that the individual is incapacitated and can't participate in that. And so they're forced to obviously try to support that person from a distance, and obviously they can pray with them for them, I should say. But what a tough situation for those family members, and obviously for the individual with the disease as well. I can only imagine what that must be like. And my heart, it really does. It breaks for those people. And this is happening, I mean, this is happening all over the world right now, all over the country. And every day we come out here with new cases and new hospitalizations and new deaths. This is just really, really tough. And which I hope that everybody who's listening to this and thinking about this understands that there are some things that they can do to make sure these numbers stay as small as possible. And they're the things we've been talking about for a month now, literally for a month. And they haven't changed. They work. And you know, we love one another, and we know how to be good neighbors. Being good neighbors right now means you do what we're asking you to do. Maintain your social distancing. Make sure that you're practicing good hygiene. Follow the stay-at-home order. Don't go out unnecessarily. Don't go shopping more often than you need to. Don't take the whole family with you. All of these things, and be patient. Look, this is a tough situation, and especially we're going into Easter weekend, which is for Christians, and certainly I'm one of those. This is the holiest of times in the whole year. I mean, it is this weekend, and so hopefully we can lift up one another in prayer. I happen to personally believe that 3 o'clock on Good Friday is the time of. Not that you shouldn't pray every day, but that is the time to offer up a prayer, because I happen to believe it's received, and it's just a little stronger than it normally is.
Last question.
Melinda.
Governor, the prison at Oakdale has obviously had a number mm-hmm. of cases and multiple deaths at this point. Have you been in contact with the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and what is being done, and from your perspective, what should be done to handle the outbreak there, whether that's to release prisoners early yeah. or what method could you?
So I have not been in contact with the Bureau of Prisons. I know that the Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General Barr, has addressed this particular issue, and he singled out that prison in Louisiana as one of a handful that caused him to issue some guidance about furloughing prisoners to home under certain circumstances and reducing those populations. What we have been doing is talking to the regional hospitals that have been taking those people into their care. And that is a very serious situation. I don't have any new information on it, but obviously that is a grave concern of ours. And it is my hope, obviously, that they can get that under control through the actions that they've taken, both to try to get as many inmates out of that facility as possible, but with all the other things that they're going to do to try to isolate and reverse isolate these individuals before they contract the virus. Look, I want to thank y'all for coming out today for the press conference, and I want to thank all the people who've been paying careful attention to this. Please be patient and understand that we have to get through this. We're going to do it. The day is going to come. I don't know when, and I don't know what's going to transpire between now and then, but the day is going to come when this will be behind us. We're going to get back to life as we want it to be, and so forth. And between now and then, let's support one another. Let's do what we can to be good neighbors and to take care of one another, but do it from a distance. And lastly, again, this being Easter weekend, I do ask everyone to lift one another up in prayer, and that we will especially remember those healthcare providers, those doctors and nurses and respiratory therapists and all of those allied health professionals who are doing so much right now to take care of people who need it the most, and in very, very difficult situations and at some risk of harm to themselves. And if you just think about what, generally speaking, a hero is, that's what a hero is. It's not the athlete, as much as we love athletes. It's not the politician. It's not the rich person. It's not the actor or the actress. These are heroic actions, and they're taking place in every hospital across Louisiana, in all of these healthcare settings, and all across the country. So let's remember them this weekend in our prayers, and let's get through this. God bless you and thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.